Let's pray together. Father, now I ask that by the power and the sweetness of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak quickly and sweetly to us, but that you would also speak powerfully to us. Because, Father, as our pastor has been saying, we want to be able to pass on fire and not ashes. We bless you now, Father. Speak, we pray, in the name of Christ we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Well, not to make you feel guilty, but I've been cleaning out my garage. It's a terrible thing. I know it's not spring cleaning, but I just finally got to the place I had to do it. I've got to make room for some things have to go. It's sad that garages collect, they collect things. So I've been cleaning out my garage, and with that, I have to tell you, as you know, it's an upheaval. It always looks worse until finally maybe it looks a little better. It's an upheaval. Well, I didn't realize that, in fact, I'm imitating God. Did you know that it's been said that every 400 or 500 years, God has a yard sale? He has a yard sale for the institution of the church because, just like me cleaning out my garage, we need it. We need to clean things up. God calls an upheaval. Why? To restore the gospel. To restore the gospel. To restore the people to Jesus and Jesus to the people, because things have gotten in the way. It's always messier until finally it isn't. It happened many times. Let me begin with one which was about 500 years before Jesus, before Christ, 500 BC, and that was what's known as the Babylonian captivity, the exile, the time when the 12 tribes were living in the Holy Land, the Promised Land, and they were for the most part well, and then they were invaded, taken over. And a military army came and took many of the intelligentsia or the leaders and so forth and carried them back to Babylon. Well, as they had been held captive now, they had to find some way that they could practice their faith. Now, here is God having a yard sale. As they got there to Babylon, many years and they're in captivity, they no longer could go to the temple. There was no longer any temple worship, temple sacrifice. So that caused the beginning of the synagogue form of worship. And also, it began the beginning of a focus on scripture, the Torah and the Tanakh. So it was a good thing. It was a wonderful thing, the Babylon captivity, as far as it reforming some of Judaism. Well, 500 years later came another yard sale. His name was Jesus. Remember him? Jesus came in, and he brings grace and mercy. He couldn't put that in the old law, though, in the old tradition. So he had to look for new wineskins. You know that story. You've heard it many times. The thing is, you know that people, for the most part, didn't like it. Again, a yard sale. Things had to be cleaned out, and it became messier until finally it wasn't. Well, 1,000 or so years later came the split of the church east to west, the Roman Catholic Church versus the Eastern Orthodox Church. They split. The many things I could say about that, one maybe most important, they split over their understanding of the third person of the Holy Trinity. But what I would say as a good Southern boy is I think they split over pomp and circumstance. Just who wanted to dress up the most and which way they wanted to dress up. With that said, that's an editorial comment. Don't record that, please. there was the yard sale between East and West. Finally, we get to where we are today, and that is this Sunday is Reformation Sunday. It's the Sunday that we celebrate the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation that happened around 1600, in other words, 500 or 600 years after the exile, after the split between East and West. Here comes the Reformation. And the reformers will say, wait a minute, the Roman Catholic Church, again, is too focused on pomp and circumstance, too focused on the law, too focused on you have to earn your salvation. You can't have it by gift, a free gift. And so today we celebrate that. We celebrate the Reformation some 500 years again later. Martin Luther, Jean Calvin, Ulrich Zwingli, they protested. They protested against the culture of the church at that time. And that is that there was an earning of righteousness, that is, you had to buy rightness with God. Now, you know, I can use all kinds of nice words, and I try to do that for Jeremy so he thinks I studied a little bit. But, you know, righteousness and justification, those are all words that just simply mean, what's your relationship like with the Lord? What is your relationship like with your Father in heaven? What is your relationship like with Jesus Christ? What is your relationship with then yourself and those around you, your life? And that's what justification is. And what the Reformation bring us? Justification by faith, received by grace. Meaning you couldn't buy it, you couldn't earn it, you had to accept it. Now, that's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard for us to accept a gift. We want to earn it. We want to say, well, but I deserve this. I deserve this because I've done this and I've done that. The Reformation, justification by faith, received through grace, set us free from slavery. As we heard the gospel lesson, what are we enslaved to? Sin. We're enslaved to sin. We're enslaved to our human nature. You see, here's the problem that people have, not church people, you good church people, but the people who aren't here this morning, the problem they have, they didn't hear that either, so it's not. The problem they have is that the gospel is for sinners. You have to be willing to be a sinner to enjoy the gospel. If you're not a sinner, you don't need it. Years ago when I was serving in Massachusetts, yes, I took this southern accent north, and I was teaching a Wednesday morning Bible study full of sweet little older people, now that I am one, and I was teaching about sin and original sin and so forth. And we split about 45 minutes into it and had a small little break, and I left. And as I was walking out, I heard one lady say to the other one, "Do you think we really are sinners? Are we really that bad?" Well, obviously she wasn't listening to me, or she didn't trust me, and I don't blame her. But the thing is, to be a Christian, you have to admit that you made a mistake. And that mistake is that you're a sinner. But you see, to admit that means you'd be free. Free from the slavery. Free from being enslaved by it. What a wonderful, wonderful gift. That's the gift of the Reformation. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a, Ben, are you ready for this? A propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. That means he set us free. He set us free by faith, by his grace, and we receive it. We receive it by faith. It's a free gift. But we have a problem. Fallen human nature. We have a habit. We have a habit. The habit is that we want to deserve it. We want to deserve it. That's why we worship. Later on this morning, you're going in our worship, you're going to stand up and you're going to proclaim your belief in the Nicene Creed. You know it well, but do you pay attention? Do you pay attention? Because you see, in the Nicene Creed, the first category of that, it tells us of our fallen human nature. It tells us of our problem. And that's this. We begin by saying, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. Well, what that tells us is there's no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. We want to be that, though, don't we? There's no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. And many of you had great accomplishments at the same time. Who deserves the credit? God the Father, who created you, who made you unique, who made you perfect, who made you willing and able to follow his design for your life. What a wonderful gift. And so it is the antithesis of the self-made man or the self-made woman. Well, still, we live in a culture that says we want to earn it. We want to buy it more and more. Are you ready for this? It's the deserve-it culture. The deserve-it culture. That's the thing we have to be careful of, the deserve-it culture, because you see, if you deserve it, that works both ways, doesn't it? Because you might deserve the reward, but also, what if you deserve the punishment? Brothers and sisters, I want to be set free from the deserve-it culture, because I don't deserve it. It comes by grace. It comes by gift. But I sure do need it. Because like all of you, I'm a sinner, falling short of the glory of God, and I want to deserve it. I want to earn it. Reward or punishment. Oh, well. At the time of the Reformation, people came to the church for help. Here's some of the sadness of the situation. They came, and what were they offered? Well, if you were grieving, what you were offered was you were sold. Well, pay for a solemn mass or two for your loved one, and it'll be fine. Emphasis on pay for the solemn mass. Or if you had committed sin, and sin was grieving your heart, worrying you, then you were told, well, just buy a few indulgences, and it'll all be okay. Now, remember what an indulgence is, folks? An indulgence is that thing you go and you say, okay, I'm going to have a big weekend, and so if you will, give me 5 indulgences so I can cover my sin for the weekend. Again, the emphasis is on pay. Now, what's happened? We put the clergy between the people and Jesus Christ in the gospel. That's what happened. And the Reformation said, no. The Reformation said, no, no. Now we're going to make sure that the gospel is there for the people. Restore the people to Jesus and Jesus to the people. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one should boast. The Reformation. Well, folks, this morning, here we are. We are, again, living in the yard sale. We're living in the yard sale, folks. Yet, we are learning to be grateful. Grateful for the reformers who gave us back the gospel. Grateful for our leaders who have led and are leading us through this time of give and take yard sale. Leaders, we're learning to be grateful. Grateful, why? We didn't just lose a building, folks. We gained a new revival. Let me say that again. We didn't lose a building. We gained a new revival. That's what the yard sale does. You see, that's what you're feeling right now. That's what you're experiencing right now. That's what we're seeing in the midst of this congregation as we come together as a community of faith and say, we're going to build a new building. We're going to build something for higher ground. But the point is this. It's not the building. It's what? The people who are going to inhabit it. The young people who are going to come and gather in there. All the things that are going to happen in faith of Jesus Christ, that's the purpose of it. You see, I've learned to be grateful. I've been there before. 25 years I was rector of St. James on James Island, and we built some buildings. We built a $4.5 million building, and then a few years ago we had to give it up, just like you. And I can tell you, it did not make me angry, it made me sad. It made me sad, and I had to deal with that prayerfully and deal with it. But at the same time, last night at one of the neighborhood meetings at the Porches, I hope you've been to one, hope you will go to one. They are wonderful. At the neighborhood meeting at the Porches, God spoke to me clearly. What a wonderful, he spoke to me clearly. He said, you had to give up that building, but this is one you'll never have to lose. Wow. We'll never have to lose it, folks. It'll be our children's. It'll be their children's. It'll go on and on another 300 years. Thanks be to God. You see, we've been there before. That's why now I can be grateful. Kay and I came to you a couple of years ago. We were homeless. You know, Jesus welcomed the homeless. Thank you. You welcomed us. We were homeless. And so you said, oh, Shay, sure, come on in. Just don't get in the way. But we were welcomed. We're blessed to be part of St. John's. We're blessed to be part of St. John's at Higher Ground. And because of that, we understand that generosity, gratitude, gives birth to generosity. Because you've been generous to us. The Lord has been generous to us. And we are grateful. Gratitude gives birth to generosity. Gratitude not only changes our perspective, but it changes our generosity. For instance, when you're thankful for your home, you're more generous with how you might offer it to others. When you're thankful for your gifts and talents, you're more generous about how you might offer those gifts and talents to the church, to the nation, to the community. What a way to go. Generosity encompasses so much more than just money. Well, I'm not sure about you, but last Sunday, I was moved by the generosity of others when our pastor announced that Bishop Jorge Aguilar and the Diocese of Peru was going to give us money. Wow. What an amazing gift to give sacrifice. We know what that means when we say, not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. And they're making a sacrifice, aren't they, on our behalf. Doesn't that encourage you? It certainly encourages me. We are moved to be generous. We are moved to be generous because of the gratitude we have for our Father. He's been generous to us. He's been generous with his patience, He's been generous with his gospel. He's been generous with his forgiveness. He's been generous with his redemption, his restoration. He set us free from slavery. Lay that out for yourselves, treasures on earth, where moth and rust may corrupt, where thieves may break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust may not corrupt, where thieves may not break in and steal. For surely where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Here we are in the midst of the yard sale. It's not only happening in the Anglican Communion, it's happening here at St. John's. My question for it, is it also happening in your life, in your faith? Is it time for the Lord to have a yard sale with you? Kay and I have had to talk about that in these last couple of weeks and pray about it, because we know that that we have to make a couple of lifestyle changes in this next year and then 3 years to be part of the Higher Ground stewardship campaign. And we're willing. In fact, we're grateful because we say, well, we can do this and we do that. You know, I've had to learn since retiring what the idea of fixed income means. It's a new experience, but it's important. And so we know that we had to make a lifestyle change. Are you willing? Are you willing to take the next step of faith? Are you willing to go and do what God calls us to do? Calls us to step out in love, calls us to step out in gratitude that brings generosity. This morning we began with his hymn. Listen again to the first stanza. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride, and with his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.